Nabihadam bhuvana kaushalu hojarastam.
Nabihadam bhuvana kaushalu hojarastam.
Yachatmayoni jishanakila loka padmam.
Yachatmayoni jishanakila loka padmam.
Vyudham harimani vishastanayo amushya.
Vyudham harimani vishastanayo amushya.
Jayadvayam visharaharamayukka gauram.
Jayadvayam visharaharamayukka gauram. Namibhidam.
The navel lake.
The navel lake.
Bhuvanakosha.
Bhuvanakosha.
Of all the worlds.
Of all the worlds.
Guha,
Guha,
the foundation,
the foundation.
Udara,
Udara,
on the abdomen,
on the abdomen.
Stam,
Stam,
situated,
situated.
Yatra,
Yatra,
where,
where.
Atmayoni,
Atmayoni,
of Brahma,
of Brahma.
Dishana,
Dishana,
residence,
residence.
Akila Loka,
Akila Loka,
containing all planetary systems,
containing all planetary systems.
Padmam,
Padmam,
lotus,
lotus.
Dhyudham,
Dhyudham,
sprang up,
sprang up.
Haritmani,
Haritmani,
like emeralds,
like emeralds.
Brisha,
Brisha,
most exquisite,
most exquisite.
Staneo,
Staneo,
of nipples,
of nipples.
Amushya,
Amushya,
of the Lord,
of the Lord.
Jaya,
Jaya,
he should meditate on,
he should meditate on.
Dayam,
Dayam,
the pair,
the pair.
Vishara,
Vishara,
white,
white.
Hara,
Hara,
of pearl necklaces,
of pearl necklaces.
Mayuka,
Mayuka,
from the light,
from the light.
Gauram,
Gauram,
whitish,
whitish.
The yogi should then meditate on his moon-like navel in the center of his abdomen. From his navel, which is the foundation of the entire universe, sprang the lotus stem containing all the different planetary systems. The lotus is the residence of Brahma, the first created being. In the same way, the yogi should concentrate his mind on the Lord's nipples, which resemble a pair of most exquisite emeralds, and which appear whitish because of the rays of the milk-white pearl necklaces adorning his chest. Purport. The yogi is advised next to meditate upon the navel of the Lord, which is the foundation of all material creation. Just as a child is connected to his mother by the umbilical cord, so the firstborn living creature, Brahma, by the supreme will of the Lord, is connected to the Lord by a lotus stem. In the previous verse, it was stated that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, who engages in massaging the legs, ankles, and thighs of the Lord, is called the mother of Brahma. But actually, Brahma is born from the abdomen of the Lord, not from the abdomen of his mother. These are inconceivable conceptions of the Lord, and one should not think materially. How can a father give birth to a child? It is explained in the Brahma Sahita that each limb of the Lord has the potency of every other limb. Because everything is spiritual, his parts are not conditioned. The Lord can see with his ears. The material ear can hear, but cannot see. But we understand from the Brahma Sahita that the Lord can also see with his ears and hear with his eyes. Any organ of his transcendental body can function as any other organ. His abdomen is the foundation of all the planetary systems. Brahma holds the post of the creator of all planetary systems, but his engineering energy is generated from the abdomen of the Lord. Any creative function in the universe always has a direct connecting link with the Lord. The necklace of pearls, which decorates the upper portion of the Lord's body, is also spiritual, and therefore the yogi is advised to gaze at the whitish luster of the pearls decorating his chest. Om Jnanachananda Syatma.
Jnanachananda
Syatma.
Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha.
Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Prabhu Nityananda.
Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What you're hearing is art. The Supreme Personality of God, the cause of all causes, is the Supreme Artist. We were speaking yesterday about how we have propensities which we are manifesting in the material world. We spoke about the loving propensity, and we also spoke about the propensity to want to experience beauty. We described how people will decorate themselves, decorate their homes, decorate their cars. There always has to be some kind of decoration, even in the life of the poorest person. When you go to India, you can see poor people living on the side of the road, but somehow or other, the lady's wearing some multicolored sari and has some kind of jewelry. No matter how ordinary, still, there's some attempt for decoration. These propensities, when expressed in the material world, are never satisfied. And we spoke yesterday about the illusion that just because I have a propensity or a desire, why does that mean that there should be fulfillment? The material world is the place where you have desires which are never satisfied. The more we get this into our heads, the more we'll have a chance to actually have peace and fulfillment in life. You cannot fulfill material desires. Not possible. Even though you have them, they'll not be fulfilled. But if you focus your desires upon Krishna, then you'll experience the perfection of desire. Just like beauty, you want to hear beautiful things, see beautiful things, taste beautiful things, touch beautiful things. That's all done in Krishna consciousness. When you connect to Krishna, then you are connected to the source of unlimited beauty. In other words, we shouldn't simply think of God as extraordinarily powerful in terms of creative might. We should understand the Lord above all is beautiful. That means Krishna looks better than anyone. Krishna dances better than anyone. Krishna loves better than anyone. Everything he does is a work of art, even when he kills. Therefore, in the Krishna book, you'll read that when Jarasandha attacked for the first time, and Krishna and Balaram, they fought the army of Jarasandha, they created an ocean of blood with various bodily parts floating in the ocean. First, Krishna did that by his military prowess. And then, what did Balaram do? He made that ocean of blood created by Krishna overflow once Balaram started killing. So there's a whole description in the 10th canto in Krishna book. Very artistic, even about Krishna's killing. This is a challenge to our mundane senses. But if God is perfect and complete, that means he can do everything. And the result is beneficial. Even if he does something that challenges your material conceptions, how can it be beneficial that God kills? The fact is, any way you come in contact with Krishna, you'll benefit. Whether Krishna dances with you, sports with you in the forest, or kills you. Of course, Krishna wants to relate to his devotees in loving exchanges. But for those who are against the existence of the Lord, there could be no better fate for them than to be killed by the Lord, because they have contact with the Lord, they benefit. This is the true understanding of the science of God, and you can spend your whole life trying to fathom the depths of understanding Krishna. You'll never get to the end. That is the conclusion of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva. For example, consider the spiritual world. You cannot calculate the length and breadth of any Vaikuntha planet. Yet all the Vaikuntha planets fit into just one corner of the spiritual world. So that means, how are you going to calculate the spiritual sky that contains the Vaikuntha planets if you can't calculate the size of one Vaikuntha planet? Not possible. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva cannot calculate the spiritual world. And then what about Krishna's qualities? Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they've been trying to get to the end of Krishna's qualities. Not possible. Did you know that the Lord is so expert a lover that he has a particular quality he can manifest for each devotee? Therefore, the Lord has infinite qualities. He has a particular special flavor, in other words, for each individual devotee. So how are you going to ever count all the flavors, qualities of the Lord? There are infinite devotees. So the Lord has infinite flavors to match each devotee. Just like in Chaitanya Leela, when it was prasad time, Lord Chaitanya knew exactly what each devotee's favorite prasad was and arranged that the devotee would get that. This is God. We can only enter this subject matter by hearing. Otherwise, we'll just conceive of God, if we do at all, as the supreme powerful in terms of engineering abilities, creative abilities, or destroying abilities, or providing food. But if we want to know more about God, then we have to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we become overwhelmed with the beauty of the Lord. What is special about Krishna's beauty? We've heard in the purport that every limb of the Lord's body can do the function of the other limbs. You sing that every morning. Andaniyasya sakalendya vittimanti govindam adi purusham tamamajami. Every morning you sing that when you greet the deities. But do you know what you're saying? You're singing a prayer composed by Lord Brahma. You're singing to the Lord that your every limb can do the functions of all the other limbs. Now, although that is true, that the Lord can see with his ears and hear with his eyes, generally, when he comes as Krishna, the original personality of God, in Swayambhu, and displays his Naralila, his pastimes as a human being, when he does that, he generally hears with his ears and sees with his eyes. And in order to maintain the sweetness of the human-like pastimes, this is how sensitive Krishna is to getting our love. As Swayam Bhagavan, he's very expert in appearing human-like while at the same time being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's displaying as Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead himself. He's displaying Goloka Vrindavan, the highest planet in the spiritual world. The spiritual world is in the shape of a lotus flower, and the Vaikuntha planets are petals of that lotus flower, and in the center of a lotus flower, the world, that is Goloka Vrindavan. So you see that everything Krishna does is very artistic, the height of artistry. The lotus flower is the most beautiful thing you'll see in the material world. The spiritual world is in the shape of a spiritual lotus flower. Why should not God do everything according to the height of artistry? You couldn't imagine such things. The spiritual world in the shape of a lotus flower. And then what about Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who's a portion of a plenary portion of the Supreme Lord? What's happening? He has a navel lake. Nabi Gaja. And from that beautiful navel lake, Lord, the Supreme Lord is so beautiful that you glorify the beauty of his navel. Now, you can look at your own navel. Would you glorify it in prayers? Krishna is so beautiful. He's even named because of the beauty of his navel. Aravinda Nava, lotus-like navel. That is beauty. Not just one part of the body beautiful for a few years. No. Eternally ever fresh, every part of Krishna's body is the unlimited source of beauty. So just think of the artistry of Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. How? You can see that the perfection is personal expression. The personal expression by the Supreme Person. What is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu doing? He's lying on the Anantashesh, floating on the Garbhodaka Ocean. What is the Garbhodaka Ocean? It's at the bottom of the universe. It's the perspiration from the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So this is art. If you understand it as art, then you'll be able to stay clear of the misconception that this is mythology. We have art in this world. It's like, are you sure that he's an artist? No one considers his art to be myth. No, everyone accepts this is your personal expression. Why do you, as a tiny living entity, have this artistic ability and artistic personal expression? Because you're part of Krishna, who has unlimited artistic expression. And how does he manifest that? By doing things like laying at the bottom of the universe and filling the bottom with the perspiration from his own body to create an ocean, and then reclining on Anantashesh, the thousand-headed serpent. Why reclining on Anantashesh? The body of a snake is very cool. So there is the Lord floating on the ocean, laying on his own perfect waterbed. He's done all the things you want to do. You ever tried laying on one of those rubber rafts at the seashore? Yeah. It's really nice to think about it, but I seem to remember you always have a tough time staying on. Right? You have all in your mind, I'm going to go to my holiday spot and I'm get the rubber raft or whatever and just lay on the water, you know. It all works in your mind when you actually try to do it. I remember you're always going off this side, going off that side. It's never right. Then you have to worry about the sun. Do you have enough sunblock on? Sometimes in travel adverts for holiday spots, they show someone laying on a raft on the water with a drink in their hand. You know? Have you seen that? But you try to do it, it just didn't work, you know? You're always uncomfortable, you know? Just, but the Lord does that with no problem. He has his expansion and untashesh under him. The cool body of serpent. And he's reclining. And what's happening while he's reclining? Lakshmi is there massaging his legs. What every man would want. Why would you call that mythology when the Lord does it? Lying on the water, on the body of an antashesh, a cooling body, having your legs massaged by your consort. This is life for the Supreme Krishna, Adiyagana. But everyone says, oh no, this is too far-fetched for me to believe. Yet everyone, every man would want that, to recline and then have your consort massaging your legs. But why is it mythology when the Lord does it? Especially, there's no matter involved in anything Krishna does. Lakshmi is all spiritual. The Lord's body is all spiritual. Anantashesh is all spiritual. The perspiration from the Lord's body that created the Garbhodak Ocean. All these are spiritual productions. So then what else happens? How does the art continue? As the Lord is laying there, floating, being massaged by Lakshmi, from his lotus navel, the Nabhigada, the navel lake, comes a lotus flower. And in the stem of the lotus flowers contain all the ingredients for the universal creation. At the top of the lotus flower comes Lord Brahma. That's how he's born. This is art. Of course, the beauty of Krishna far exceeds even his own expansions, like the Vishnu expansions. The Lord, as Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead, has qualities and beauty that he does not share with the living entities, and he doesn't even share these qualities and beauty with other incarnations. Therefore, even Narayan in Vaikuntha is attracted to Krishna as Govinda, the cowherd boy. And Lakshmi, the consort of Narayan in Vaikuntha, she's also attracted to Krishna. Therefore, she performs austerities to try to enter Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. You'll find descriptions of Krishna's opulence and sweetness given by Lord Chaitanya in Chaitanya Charitamrita. As Lord Chaitanya would talk about the opulence of the Lord, the Aishwarya Sagar, the ocean of opulence, would awaken in his mind and capture his senses. And after speaking about the Aishwarya, the opulence of the Lord for a while, then the Madhuryamrita, the nectar of the sweetness of the Lord would arise in his mind, and he would change his presentation and start talking about the sweet beauty of Krishna's body in Vrindavan. And then Lord Chaitanya concluded by saying to Sanatana Goswami, what have I been talking about? I didn't intend to talk about all these things, the opulence and sweetness of the Lord. I intended to talk to you about something else. But I see that because Krishna wanted you to know these things, these words came out of my mouth. Lord, now that I would not explain these things, people would think I'm a man then. But because you were meant to hear these things, obviously, even though I didn't plan to say them, these things came out. Lord Chaitanya explained to Sanatana Goswami how Krishna's face is the king of all moons, and his body is the throne upon which the king of the moons sits. And Krishna consists of 24 and a half moons. The moon is so beautiful. First, there's his Mukha Chandra, his moon-like face. That's one moon. And then each cheek is a moon. So beautiful, shining. His forehead is a half moon. That makes up the half of the 24 and a half. And then the spot of sandalwood pulp on his forehead, that's also a moon. So there you have four and a half. And where the other 20 moons come from? Each of his fingernails is a moon. So that's 10 more. Those fingernails, the moons of those 10 fingernails play on the flute and make this music coming from the flute. Then there's 10 more. The toenails, they radiate like the moon. And what is their song? Their song is the jingling of the Lord's ankle bells. Well, this is Krishna's beauty, both sight and sound. 24 and a half moons consist of his body with the face, the king of moons. And then the moons of the fingers play the flute, producing music. The moons of the toes make the ankle bells jingle and produce music in that way. What else about Krishna? You see, in Vrindavan, there's a lot of criticism of Lord Brahma going on. Why is that? It's not simply that Lord Brahma stole or tried to steal the cowherd boys in caps. No. The residents of Vrindavan have something more substantial against Lord Brahma. What is that? Why did Lord Brahma create us with only two eyes? How can you take in all the beauty of Krishna with only two eyes? What kind of creator is that? So, have you ever seen such beauty in this world that you would condemn the creator? Why do I only have two eyes? Suppose you said that to your beloved. I just have two eyes. It's not enough to see your beauty. Person would think it real. But with Krishna, it's true. Look, this is how the residents of Vrindavan genuinely feel. Why is it that we're only given two eyes? It's not fair. In order to see Krishna, you need thousands of eyes because his beauty is unlimited. And then what more? Not only do we have just two eyes, but they blink. Krishna is so beautiful. And when our eyes blink, we're separated from his beauty. Therefore, we condemn the creator. Now, have you seen someone so beautiful that you just can't stand your eyes blinking? Because in that time when I blink, you can't see their beauty? Just make your eyes blink. It happens all the time. You're not conscious of it. But it's so quick. Now, can you imagine such beauty that you would condemn the creator because you couldn't see that beautiful person for just an eye blink? That is God. So you can try it. You can say it to your husband. Why? My eyes blink. Never to laugh. Like, come on, get real. But just because it's a joke with us, why do we think it's not possible for the devotees of the Lord? That's how beautiful Krishna actually is. So in Vrindavan, there's a lot of this Brahma criticism. Why did you make our eyes insufficient number, and why did you make eyes that blink? You see, in Vrindavan, the gopis, they're always seeing Krishna. But if Krishna is just away for a short moment, they think, oh, millions of yugas have passed, we haven't seen Krishna. Just like when Krishna goes to the forest taking the cows. The gopis are in pain, thinking, His feet are so soft, and he's walking barefoot through the forest over pebbles and sharp rocks. Those feet, we wouldn't even dare put on our body because our body is too hard and his feet are so soft. But those same feet, they're walking in the forest over pebbles. Oh, they become filled with spiritual pain. That's their meditation all day while Krishna is away. What is happening to the Lord's feet? Those feet are our property, yet we wouldn't dare to put them on us, but they're on the sharp ground in the forest. In this way, because they're thinking so intensely of Krishna's lotus feet, the Lord is present with them and they see Krishna in separation. What else happens in Vrindavan? While Krishna is in the forest, the residents of Vrindavan, they're looking up at the sky, at the sun. The sun is still in the same place. Why is this day dragging on? They're longing for evening when the sun is setting and Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys will return from the forest with the calves. But they look up in the sky and the sun seems to not have moved. Therefore, they're in anguish. When will we see that beautiful face of Krishna again, surrounded by locks of curling hair? How much longer must we wait? Then they look towards the roads, the paths to the forest. They're looking for clouds of dust indicating that the Lord's returning with his herd. But they don't see any clouds of dust. So again they lament, oh, how can we tolerate this separation from Krishna? Then they hear from far off in the forest the sound of Krishna's flute, and they know he's still deep in the forest. We'll have to wait longer for his return. They're feeling like this because of Krishna's personal beauty of his body and the beauty of his loving affairs with his devotees. Therefore, they're cursing Brahma. What kind of creator are you? And what is Lord Brahma thinking? He's thinking, how can anyone think that they understand Krishna? That was his conclusion at the end of the Brahma the Movana Leela, the pastime of the bewilderment of Lord Brahma. When he thought he would interfere with Krishna's pastimes by attempting to steal the cows and cowherd boys, and Krishna just bewildered him completely. So, Lord Brahma's conclusion was, Jananta eva janantu kim bahutya name prabho. People may say, I know everything about Krishna. Let them talk. As far as I'm concerned, everything about the Lord is far beyond my understanding. Let them talk in that way. He was staring at Krishna, noting the beauty of the Lord's body, childhood Krishna, Bal Gopal, with his stick for herding the cows, his flute, his bugle, and holding in one of his hands rice mixed with yogurt, decorated with forest minerals and a peacock feather. Brahma was looking at that. And then he began to offer his prayers, asking for forgiveness for having interfered with the Lord's pastimes. Brahma was aware of all the Vishnu expansions of the Lord, but he's offering his prayers to Bal Gopal, the little cowherd boy, knowing this is the cause of all causes. Lord Brahma made a very intelligent point in his prayer. He said, I can understand your body, the potency, the spiritual potency that's contained in your body, my Lord. If I can't understand your body and its potency, how can I understand your pastimes? How can I understand the happiness that you experience within yourself? You see, Krishna's pastimes are like an ocean, and just one drop is enough to drown the whole world. What Brahma is expressing his inability to appreciate the complete artistry of the Lord. The Lord is unlimitedly beautiful. There's no limit to the attraction. So Brahma is just expressing his inability to take it all in. This is the nature of the spiritual world. There'll never be an end to your relishing Krishna's beauty. In this verse, you're reading about the Lord's opulent form that yogis meditate on. The Lord's Vishnu form. So it's described that the yogi should meditate on the Lord's chest. The Lord has nipples like emeralds. And these emeralds appear whitish because of the rays of the milk-white pearl necklace adorning his chest. And that milk-white pearl necklace is all spiritual. So these descriptions are meant for you to think about. They satisfy your desire for beauty. Just like when you look at the deity, the deities are so nicely dressed. Your need for beauty is fulfilled. You try to decorate yourself, you will not be satisfied. Any of you remember what that feels like when you dress up a bit? You might have had some special party clothes or something. What is it? You know, black shirt, black pants or something. Those party clothes. Black dress, yeah, something like that. Yeah. Was it over in North Island? North Island, Wellington, Auckland. They go out to party and they all wear black. You don't do that in French, do you? So, Auckland, they do that. People would tell me, you know, I've got my special party shirt. All black, you know. You look, it's Friday night in Wellington, you look out the window and you see all these people just wearing black, you know, because they're all going to parties. So, they seem to feel some joy in decorating themselves. Even men, and certainly ladies. You want to look pretty. The men want to look stylish or something. But does that really fulfill you?
Of course not.
But simply looking at Krishna as the deity and your need for beauty and artistry and decoration is perfectly fulfilled. We're not doing blind rituals here. We are associating with the Supreme Personality of God. The more you hear the knowledge of Bhagavatam, the more you'll understand what you're seeing. What else can we say about the beauty of Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead? The beauty of his face is actually mainly the property of the gopis, even more than Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda, she's always staring in Krishna's face, but somewhere or other the gopis, they have more ownership over Krishna's face. When Mother Yashoda is feeding baby Krishna with her breast milk, she stares into his face. Still, that face belongs more to the gopis. So, any questions?
exist here in this material world.
Compared to what?
Compared with Krishna's like two-armed forms, like human, animal, living entity, but the forms of Krishna which only appear here in this material world are quite, eccentric in this sense.
Eccentric? Artistry! Are artists eccentric?
Is that
yeah, it's just Krishna's personal way of doing things.
It attracts the living entities.
Yes, some living entities are attracted to the Vishnu form.
But then once getting attracted to those forms, then one obviously gets directed towards Krishna. Because when we go to the Goloka Vrindavan, it's into that.
If that's where you're meant to go. Our Sampradaya is meant to take people to Goloka Vrindavan. But there's also Vaikuntha.
Seems like you're talking about artistry, but even characters like Lord Shiva, they attract, by their particular nature, they attract certain living entities by their designs.
Yeah, Lord Shiva attracts the ghosts. He's Bhutana, Lord of the ghosts, and he gives them mercy. They like him. He smears his body with ashes, you know, stays near crematoriums. His wife is Durga Devi, material energy personified, but he won't even give her a house. She just lives with him in the forest, under a tree. He wears a garland of skulls. And sometimes he becomes mad in ecstasy and he plays his drum. Yes, some persons are attracted to that. Particularly ghosts and creatures like that, mode of ignorance. Lord Shiva is above the mode of ignorance, but the ghosts and ghouls, they like that. He wears a garland of skulls, he's got crematorium ashes smeared in his body. They're attracted to that. So Lord Shiva is merciful to them. If they please Lord Shiva, he'll get them into a body. They'll have to be ghosts anyway. But Lord Shiva is actually attracted to the Supreme Lord. He likes the Ram mantra. Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. That's all he chants. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Lord Chaitanya is directing us to be attracted to Govinda, who has a peacock feather in his hair, which is like a rainbow in the sky. And his yellow dhoti is like flashes of lightning in the sky. His pearl-white necklace, it's like white ducks flying in the rain sky. And his body, the color of a rain cloud. So this way, the way you can meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And this Krishna pours his rain of mercy down upon the residents of Vrindavan, particularly the gopis. You can read about, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll read about how Krishna's intimate devotees, they're just caught in a fix because Krishna's so beautiful. They're just overwhelmed by Krishna's beauty. They don't know what to do with themselves. You've not seen beauty like that in the material world. Can you imagine saying to someone, "Oh, but you're so beautiful, what am I going to do with myself? I just don't know what I'm going to do. You're so beautiful." Yeah, go ahead, you can't say anything like that. But that is the nature of life in Vrindavan. The number one topic is Krishna's beauty and his loving affairs. There's a lot of whispering and gossiping going on in Vrindavan. Psst, psst. Did what Krishna did last night. None of it's very serious, but it's all part of the leela. There's a lot of whispering and gossiping in the town. Sometimes at night, when the young girls are taking rest, Krishna will come outside the house and make funny noises, indicating, wake up, time to go to the forest. The next day, there's gossiping about that. It's all part of the unlimited beauty of the Lord and his spiritual abode. No material bodies, no material emotions, no material desires. Everything purely spiritual.
I'm just thinking about asking with maybe Gopis and Charlie, that looking for Krishna, he goes missing. And then they come to Vishnu, and they have Vishnu come to perform Vishnu and me. They go past him.
Narayan.
In Narayan.
Yes.
So it's like Vishnu, when Narayan falls, it's like something more orderless.
Narayan doesn't share the beauty of Krishna. Krishna has some qualities that he keeps only for himself. He doesn't share even with Narayan. Those are listed in Nectar Devotion. Four qualities that Krishna, as Swayam Bhagavan, reserves for himself. Beauty, flute playing, surrounded by intimate loving devotees. What else? Loving pastimes. He doesn't share this with Narayan. So therefore, when the gopis were looking for Krishna in the forest, the Lord appeared in a bush in his forehead in Narayan form, and the gopis just weren't interested in the least. They just, oh, Narayan, oh, can you tell us where Krishna is? Their eyes are meant for Krishna only. Even Lord Narayan, not interested. They weren't, they offered their humble obeisances. Oh, Lord Narayan, can you tell us where Krishna is? Through devotional service, you'll feel the personal care of the Supreme Lord. That is the intimacy you're longing for. To feel Krishna's personal care. Nothing compares to that. And that personal care you can feel even from the beginning stages of devotional service. So yes, everyone has this propensity to want to feel cared for, to want to feel the warmth of a personal relationship through devotional service. You'll feel how Krishna is particularly caring for you in his own special way. But that experience is gotten through service. And what is the result of looking for intimacy in the material world? Because what can anyone do for you in the material world? Their body is temporary. Everything is ruled by time, therefore whatever nice feelings may seem to be there will not last. The intelligent person understands Only Krishna can perfectly reciprocate my love. There's nothing wrong with wanting perfect loving reciprocation. Fine. But you have to look for the right person. Otherwise, think about it. What can somebody in the material world actually do for you? Except bring you more problems. But still, we have this big imagination. You're going to be it for me. You will be my source of Aishvarya, opulence, and Madhurya, sweetness. A tiny, frail living entity. Yeah. You take one little razor blade. How much does a razor blade cost? $1. One little razor blade, make a little slit in their skin, and they got huge problems. But they're going to help you. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, we have relationships based on inspiring one another to love Krishna. That's different. We need to remember that there's no pleasure and no joy of intimacy without purification. You see, this is our problem in Kali Yuga. We want everything cheap. We don't want to pay the price. If you want to learn some job skill, you'll go to the polytech, you'll get into debt. If you want, more, you go to university. But to feel true intimacy and love, no qualifications necessary. Take some ecstasy, go to a club. It'll all be there. For everything else, people recognize we need qualification. It's like you're going to university. So many students are hoping you get a qualification. But if you say you need a qualification in order to love and have pleasure, they'll look at you like you're crazy. Well, that's just natural. You just do. No. You must become purified. So if you always remind yourself of that, there's utter need for purification. That's why we have principles of sense control. Without controlling your senses, you'll never stand a chance to get purified. So this is the battle that's going on in the mind. I want to feel something now. I don't want to wait. I want now. I want love now. I want intimacy now. Like someone goes to university on the first day of class, they're demanding, I want my degree now. Just wait a while, 3 years. Go through your qualification. Go through your time necessary to become qualified. Similarly in Krishna consciousness. Recognize there's nothing wrong with having a desire for love and to share love, but you have to become purified to find out what love really is. You just have a foggy idea. Foggy notion. Become purified and Krishna will show you what real love is. But who's patient for that? That's the problem. Otherwise, you'll spend your whole life chasing foggy illusions of what love is. I remember once, I was a little boy. It must have been 9 years old. And I still remember, I was listening to my mother talk to her girlfriend, next door neighbor. And they were talking about what is love. And I remember my mother saying, like, very majestically, she must have been in her 30s. Yeah, she was in her 30s then. She said, love is when you're sitting back to back with someone listening to nice music. So I was just a 9-year-old boy. I was wondering, you know, I wanted to ask him, I was like, well, I've never seen you do that. What it sounded like, you know, real, you know, I guess when ladies talk, you know, they come out with these kind of things and so. Yeah. But I was just a young boy, I was thinking, gee, I've never seen mom and dad do that. Well, my mother said it was such a flourish. They were having a deep discussion. What is love? You know, like if love is sitting back to back, listening to nice music. That's what you get in into your life, just a dream.
Sometimes it's like the reality of it is becomes more apparent than you like, and I acknowledge, like it's easy to look at the word Krishna as the sapphire letter word and think how we would become intimate with it.
You have to establish relationship. Therefore there's sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. All the Vedic literature is divided into those three categories. Sambandha, understanding and establishing your relationship. Abhideya, acting in the relationship. And prayojana, attaining the ultimate fruit of the relationship. Of course, we also do hope that our lady devotees will be able to get nice husbands and have nice Christian hands as families.
Very well.
That was pretty good, wasn't it? It's the mystical paradox of Bhakti Yoga. All the men just say brahmacharis, and all the ladies say nice husbands. Somehow it all works out. Be patient. You missed the joke, sorry, Kate. Anything else? Yeah.
Gurumaj, in one part of the Bhagavatam, talks about how Lord Brahma's work, or Lord Brahma's service to Krishna is so difficult. And then you're just saying how the gopis were kind of just sort of like criticizing?
Definitely criticizing. Condemning. You don't know what you're doing.
So Lord Brahma must have felt so like, I put so much work into this. Could you explain it on
our now, Lord Brahma prays that if I can just have a position somewhere as the humble servant of the residents of Vrindavan, even as a blade of grass, if I can't be a blade of grass inside Vrindavan, because I'm not fortunate enough, let me be a blade of grass outside Vrindavan, so that when the residents of Vrindavan go outside the village, they'll still also get the dust from their feet that way. Yeah.
Yumesh, can you talk a little bit about how yogis with materialistic motivations can have the darshan for Vishnu more than that?
After they're purified. It's like Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj had material desires, but he was tricked by an arrow in the moon. Narayana is the best Sankirtan devotee. Oh, you want a better kingdom than your father or grandfather? Here's how you do it. You just take this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Just meditate on that and see what happens. So what happened? Jivaraj became purified. And then when he saw the Lord, he said, what a fool am I? I was worshipping you for material desires. I was worshipping the person who can end the cycle of repeated birth and death. But my goal of worship was to get things that would perpetuate the cycle of repeated birth and death. What a fool am I? So his conclusion was, Swamin katatasmi varandayache. My Lord, I'm satisfied simply by seeing you. I don't need anything material. So Narayana Muni, he was the most expert. He's the most expert Sankirtan devotee. He arranged for Dhruva's purification.
What about when Devasa Muni approached?
Krishna can let that happen. Devasa Muni is actually a special case. He's a special character. It's not all bad, you know. He has his other side also. He couldn't stay in Vaikuntha though. Krishna can allow exceptions to happen. Krishna's not bound by rules. Everything is personal artistry. Right? When you make your art, you have exceptions to your style, right? Okay? Right? You have a way you generally execute your art, but also on a certain day you may feel, I'll just do something completely different. Gradually, the more you hear Bhagavatam, the more you'll stop thinking of the universe in an impersonal way. Hare Krishna.